policies that the open public, et cetera, exist, and are there differentiation between obvious privacy zones and then no zones? I mean, I sometimes say it's the privacy, and I don't know.
The question is, can in the documents in the Armstrong archives, can you differentiate between Hubbard's creation of the text and his personal problems or the assessment of his own personal problems in his own personal life? And the answer is that in very few documents do you actually find him that I've seen. Jerry may have seen more. You actually see him preparing the text. If you believe Ron, DeWolf says that 90% of it was written off the top of his head. And I would say that some of the documents prove that. And Ron also says that he wrote something, for instance, All About Radiation by a nuclear physicist and a medical doctor. DeWolf claims he was tripping on cocaine when he did that. In reading it, I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, I find a lot of things in there to be far-fetched and I believe to be misrepresentations. But the answer to your question specifically is I would say that I am not fully enough versed with all of the documents to make that differentiation. But the documents that I have seen would seem to support DeWolf's contention that most of the stuff he just writes off the top of his head and whatever comes to mind. Later stuff he did a little more research, I'd say. Okay, one more over here and we'll go over here.
To your point, that you say it comes from the top of the text, I do not mind acknowledging the doctrine. So this is what I want you to doubt, just for the reason that it comes from the top of head that it might not be valid. So I just wanted to put that out.
Yeah, that could be very...
So far, what I have seen are phenomenal is what I have experienced, but that is just my own statement on that.
It's a good point. She basically said that the fact that he may have written it off the top of his head is really irrelevant if it works. And I suppose some of the most creative things that have ever been done in life are probably done that way. So that's a very valid point, number one. Number two, I would say that, you know, the whole idea of the spiritual master and following another spiritual master, you know, the lesson is of following a spiritual master, assuming that L. Ron Hubbard has attempted to be a spiritual master and he's laid out his path and the means he's taken to reach what he perceives to be his spiritual freedom, if you agree that he's reached it, which I haven't disagreed, but the bottom line would tend to be that every person has to find their own path. You can try to use the signposts and guidelines that people, other spiritual masters may lay down, but ultimately you have to find your own. And maybe that's the bottom line of this whole thing of the Church of Scientology is maybe the ultimate finding of your own is confronting the Church, emancipating yourself from it. Maybe that'll be the greatest gain you ever had.
Okay, I wanted to know, okay, the question about all the alterations, the adjustments, the amendments that have been made on the text is very valid, right? That was on staff and that was on the field. For about 9 months. Okay, I wanted to know, is there any way to get a hold of the original writings of L. Ron Hubbard when he first wrote it down in the form of the HCOD, the HCOPL, before all of the revisions by Godwin II?
A lot of them are in the Armstrong documents. How many, I don't know. And how much would ever get released, I really don't know. So I guess the answer to your question is, there are documents in there that are original handwritten notes involving policy letters and things like that I've read. Things like there's one document on the Fair Game Doctrine where a lawyer writes to him saying, cancel it, because it's, you know, it's, this is ridiculous. I mean, the bad fair game doctrine, lie, cheat, sue, destroy, etc. And he writes back to the lawyer and says, no. He says, I'm modifying it. That's the word he used, modifying it, but I'm not going to cancel it. Things like that are in these documents.
So basically, what I'm getting a hold of it, of the original document.
You'd have to go through about 40 lawyers.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That's me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I hope I can get what I want to say across. I can understand why you're a lawyer, first of all. A little bit earlier, you said that it wasn't your purpose to vilify the man. And yet you have stood there and you've taken a collection of documents called the Army Girl, one missile after the other of his man. Now, listening to you, I can understand that you don't have any particular reason to think that the Scientology technology has anything in it that is superior to the yoga, that is superior to any of the Eastern dreams. Okay?
Now, I'm not sure I agree with that last statement.
Okay, I don't think that you personally feel that the Scientology technology has anything in it that is more valuable than the Eastern techniques that you have studied. Alright? That is just my personal impression from listening to you. Now, I want you to understand that I'm a person who thinks otherwise. I think that there is something there that is the realization of those dreams. I don't expect you to believe that on any kind of evidence, but I want you to know there's a person out here that believes that. And I further feel that that does not emanate from a man who is as base as you are representing him to be. Now, I'm sure you could easily sit there and say, well, on the other hand, he did these good things, etc. But I don't believe that that text to come from somebody whose sole motivation was as base as you're suggesting. Now, what I'm going to say is that you said that during the time that Scientology was developed, you suggested, if I understood you correctly, that simultaneously, the whole time, that this man held another covert viewpoint that was completely against the representative viewpoint of the church. All right? So I'm going to say to you, either you back that up 100%, or you back down. Okay, that's all I've got to say.
Some good points. Some good points. First of all, when you talk about facts, data, vilification, your personal animosities are irrelevant. We're talking facts. I tried to present facts. Whether he went to Princeton, whether he went to George Washington University. Your issue about a covert, independent viewpoint is the heart of what you raised. When I saw the Armstrong documents as to Jerry Armstrong, I will stand here and say that the realization of what I was dealing with hit home 100%. And I will tell you that I will stand behind that representation 100%, that when L. Ron Hubbard wrote some things, he had a dichotomous view in his mind. It is in the document. It is apparent to whoever reads them. Now, under no circumstances will I depart from that view. And if I could get the documents released, as Omar Garrison found out, and as Jerry Armstrong found out, those documents clearly reveal that critical, subtle fact that is the heart of the question you raised to me. And it is true. There is a dichotomous viewpoint. Just as he told the Veterans Administration that he was going to try to get a disability, when at the same time he didn't think he deserved one, that's in the mind of Hubbard. It's in the methodology of his organization. I stand behind that. With regard to the spiritual quest of L. Ron Hubbard, as any other man, and the potential magnitude of his discovery for himself or for others, and his ability to relate that spiritual journey and to find things that work that help him, every human being lives their life that way. L. Ron Hubbard's technique was that he wrote it down for people to read about. Everyone in this room has lived that. L. Ron Hubbard is no greater than you. His quest for truth and his finding and realization of it is no greater than yours, nor is his ability to do it greater than yours. Our essential ability to do that are all equal. In terms of L. Ron Hubbard's having done that, and do I believe that what he's done is equal to or greater than perhaps other spiritual masters? It is true that I believe that given the Armstrong documents and given the dichotomy that I've expressed to you people, his intentions are very suspect to me. Therefore, his sincerity in expressing his spiritual quest is very suspect to me. Whether the confrontational techniques still work, of course they work. But L. Ron Hubbard's relative greatness in terms of producing himself a spiritual technology greater than you are capable of producing, I take serious issue with. I don't think that he's any different than any one of us, only maybe he had more problems as reflected in these documents.
Documents altered very simply if you have the means and money. All
you
have to do is go to the war game and you can see how the guy changed
the report card. So somebody could make
a document saying that you are not a lawyer, we are not a lawyer, who would
the
problem be? Who? Who would do that? Well, anybody that has a best interest in belittling your authority. So what I'm saying is that I recognize that the organizational structure the logic desired in present time, but the subject of anybody that heard the case, why did they call them they know the word? So this is where I'm looking at. I'm trying to get
you're trying to fathom the dichotomy that I've been trying to fathom for 4 years.
I'm trying to say, okay, that's not a step, any of these derogatory remarks about calibration, because we know it doesn't matter if you masturbate or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
Why should we expect him to be better or some great God? Everybody, we're not
God. Yes, if I can respond. Rather than, sir, what you're really raising is this gentleman did. You're raising a philosophical debate. I tried to give you a legal perspective from me as a lawyer. The discussion is gradually moving toward a philosophical debate, which has really got nothing to do with what I'm litigating about, as I told you, from A to Z. Now, in terms of, I have no personal animosity to L. Ron Hubbard, even if he did order personally Operation Juggernaut to destroy me, which was the name of the operation. I mean, you know, he, from what I can see, he has his own problems, I've got my own problems, and whether he created a technology that is as enlightened as a lot of people perceive is really a personal decision. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But with regard to your question about falsifying documents, I've seen thousands. I've seen 20 to 30,000 GO documents, and I've seen 5 to 10,000 or 5,000 or so Armstrong archive documents. Who would do it? You think I did it? You think I've got someone working for me who's falsifying these documents? Who would even conjure up the idea or spread the PR line that the documents are being falsified? It just doesn't wash. It just is not simple truth.
It washes when you look at it from a deeper point.
The government, the FBI did it?
Or keeping people from becoming more and more aware. And that's what we have to look at, whether you're on the organizational side or the company side.
Yeah, the whole SP theory, I don't want to get into that. That's a big philosophical. I have an idea where the whole doctrine comes from, and if I pass it on to you, you probably wouldn't believe me, so I won't bother. But suffice it to say that Yeah, people, suppression has been inherent in human history. People suppress other people. I mean, Adolf Hitler put people in ovens, and Genghis Khan did what he did, and who knows what. There's always been suppression. And there's always been the struggle for human evolution and to spread truth, to experience your own truth, and to disseminate it. The issue for you people is, and you can confront this on a very basic level inside yourself, in applying the tech, are you disseminating truth by supporting this organization and doing what it has done and creating the impact on the environment that it's created in trying to attack and destroy people like me who are trying to help people like you? You know, you can come to very basic grips inside yourself with whether the organization has been doing those things and whether you could go to Valerie Stansfield and get audited and go up the bridge, or Don Hill or Alan Walters or Bent Corydon, without getting that heavy suppressive trip. To me, there's a very simple philosophical truth there.
Sir, I got an important statement I'd like to make. In answer to that gentleman's statement over there, I'd like to compliment you on your attack on Mr. Flynn. I'd like to point out to all of you that the technology is not on trial here. It is our job to locate the technology, create the OB, and to apply it, and to gain what we can out of it. And this is our truth, okay? And it just so happens to come from L1 Hutter.
Okay.
The trial here is the organization of the church. And Mr. Flynn is conducting a comment.
The right of this person to say what he said is absolute, and I mean I can handle it, and it's no problem. And those are his feelings, and I respect those feelings. If he developed an inner realization from Scientology that gave him the commitment to be able to stand up and say the things that he said, that's a reality that no one should forsake, and you shouldn't forsake it. So I agree with his right to do that, and I agree with his realization within himself to have the strength to stand up and do it if he perceives that he would have been standing alone and doing it.
I think those are the apples and oranges here. One is the church organization discussion and the relapse that the general discussion, and the other is the tech. Now, I don't think you quite realize the position of the audience here. We're all here because we believe the tech.
I know. I think I realize that.
And you're presenting one view, a legal point of view, which is just on the side of the tech. So, just...
From the point of view of the cases, the tech is irrelevant.
That's right.
From the point of view of my own philosophical, you know, I began to get into a philosophical discussion with you, which is, you know, that'd be like me asking Jack Chancellor here whether, you know, he thinks it's appropriate to eat meat on Friday. I mean... So I gave him. And, you know, I'm frankly reluctant to even do it, but I did it because...
Well, that's your idea, that you talk about all the evils that Ron committed, and then he did produce the text, which we all feel is terribly worthwhile. So there is certainly a copy there, and you perhaps resorted to over-presenting the evil side, which is probably there.
I'm the one who's been hit with the 10 lawsuits and 9 bar complaints.
And the gentleman behind me said, the text...
I think you've got a good point too, and that's picking up my emotional tone. Yeah, it's true. I have a certain emotional tone, and I have that emotional tone, which is much different than it was 4 years ago, because of everything I've been through. And, you know, I can't cull that out of me and separate it. I used to be a lot more objective 4 years ago, but now I have an emotional level about the overall efforts of this organization to try to destroy me and my right to talk about it that does absolutely come across.
Yes, I think we should all remember that the most famous writers anyway, Walker, Poe, you name it, their personal life was a shambles, and it was through their tortured personal life that their strength was in writing. It was only by experiencing the extreme dichotomies were they able to arrive
That's something that perhaps was the key to the problem. I wouldn't expect it from a saint. And,
you raise a very, very good point. And what he's saying is he's analogizing LRH to Hemingway and Poe and maybe Faulkner and Shelley and a number of other people I could think of who lived very tortured lives. And from that torture came a piece of art. That undoubtedly led to Hubbard's expression that caused his writing. But you see, when Shelley and Poe and Hemingway and the others did what they did, they just sold their books. L. Ron Hubbard could have just sold his books. And he could have been the biggest pervert in the universe or the biggest saint. And had he just sold his books, it would have been irrelevant what his personal life was. But that's not what happened. But you see, that's not what happened. What happened is he wrote a book that guaranteed for people that they cure their diseases. And then he wrote a whole succession of things. Depending on your point of view, some may be accurate, some may be inaccurate. But here's the point.
Every religion tells me that. If I do as they say, then I'm going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Yeah, but just because every religion burned witches in the 1500s or tortured people with the stake, society is growing up, sir. Society is evolving. And we no longer need Gergen's office and fair game doctrines to attack people who disagree with your religion. We don't need that anymore. And the bridge is very simple. It's money. People are paying millions of dollars for courses that Bent Corydon or someone else could offer at a very reasonable compensation without causing the aggrandizement of these huge sums in the hands of a few people to deal with anyone who speaks out in the way that they have. That's really the issue, as I've said, from A to Z, from the time I walked in.
You think he is incompetent
and that someone else has taken over? I don't know. I don't know. It's a mystery. Most of your questions, Eddie Walters is here, and he's an auditor, and a lot of the philosophical stuff, he could probably handle a lot more than I did, but I'll try to get to one or two more. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Summer 79. She wants to know, I've done all this investigation, and I'm proclaiming myself to be the expert that she thinks I'm proclaiming myself to be, so why didn't I get audited? The reason is the organization would use the information against me. You want to close it down?
I'm going to let Eddie talk.
Thank you.
Well, that was interesting.